Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the Business as Unusual podcast. I know it has been a minute, but you know, I've been busy. And I feel like at times like these with the coronavirus and lockdowns, now is a great time to revive the Business as Unusual podcast because this is the time when business really is unusual. Am I right? So today I'm going to be talking to you about tips for working from home, whether you are an established work from home person, someone who's down with it, you know how to do it, you got your processes, you could still learn a couple tips here, or maybe you are caught at home with kids for the first time and you're like, how do I organize my time and actually get anything done? Or maybe you have been sent home because of the lockdowns and you're like, what the crap? Okay, so whether you are an extrovert who hates isolation, a parent with little kids pulling your attention away, or just started down the path of entrepreneurship and you want to make the most of your time, this podcast episode right here is going to help you. So be sure you listen, share, listen again, share again, I don't know, whatever you're into. Let's jump into the first tip, the first idea for you, and that's have a dedicated workspace. I cannot stress the importance of a dedicated workspace. When I first started in the world of entrepreneurship, I used to work from the living room on the couch with one of those little tables, you know, that you like, the TV dinner tables that you kind of pop up. I've also worked from the dining room, and basically, I drove my husband, then boyfriend, now husband, absolutely bonkers by having stuff everywhere. But there's a lot to be said besides annoying your partner or your roommates in having a dedicated space. Because once I moved to an actual office space, at the time I moved into our loft, so it wasn't even a closed door space, but I had a desk, I had a chair. Well, I don't sit on a chair, I sit on a giant bouncy ball, but I had a place to sit. And I had my space. This is where I would go to do my work every day. And having that dedicated space truly did increase my productivity, not to mention it probably improved my relationship with my OCD husband, because my desk, my space, it could be as messy as it wants. And if you are like me and you have one of those minds that are all over the place, then you probably have a very messy desk too. But having a dedicated space allows you to have a place that's yours. Now, if you can afford to, if you have the space in your home, I would highly suggest that you get your space behind closed doors, especially if you have other people in the house, whether those are kids or they are pesky roommates. And that is because this creates boundaries, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a minute. But when I go to my office, I will often close the door, especially if I'm recording or I'm live, and it comes in real handy that that door has a lock when I am doing live interviews, because that's always, it seems, when my four-year-old needs me. Mommy, I need you. So having that dedicated space is super important. Now, if you have zero space and you're like, I don't even know where to put this, there is a really cool desk that we actually own. It's from IKEA, and it's literally, it takes zero space up. It folds down to the, it attaches to your wall, and it folds down flat so that you don't see it. I mean, it's just like your wall. And then you can flip it up and, you know, open it up, and you have a little workspace there. And that's great also for guests. We actually have it in our guest room. So if our guests are here long term, you know, my mother-in-law comes to visit, she has an office space. So everyone has a nice dedicated space to work. All right, tip number two is to stay social. Now, I'm gonna admit something to you. You may have heard me say it before, and you may or may not understand this about me or believe me. I am an introvert. So extroverts, I'm sorry, this is a tough time for you. I would definitely suggest you stay social, whether you are an introvert or an extrovert. This is definitely no time to go hermit mode. I know that with the coronavirus spreading like wildfire, networking in real life is kind of on the kibosh. I mean, you're not going and having coffee dates with people, but that doesn't mean that you have to lock yourself in. thanks to the advancement of technology, hello, 2020 here, it's easier than ever to stay connected. There are so many tools out there that allow you to do video chats. I like to call them virtual coffees. I actually am hosting virtual table talks right now, where I just organize other people to host topics, and you could pop into a Zoom room and talk about those topics with those hosts on various days and times. Right now, there is a huge influx of people doing what are called like Zoom rooms or Zoom meetings. And certainly you're not tied down to Zoom. There's a lot of other softwares out there, which I'm actually going to do another podcast about different softwares you can use. But Zoom is probably the most popular. So either organize your own just openly and just post a link and say, hey, who wants to join me to talk about XYZ? Or you could reach out to clients or friends or even family members and say, hey, let's get together. I, for instance, am really fond of doing coffee dates or even having lunch with people virtually via Zoom, or if you have a portal. I talk to my family members, especially now with the lockdown, on the portal daily across the globe, and it's been really helpful to keep sane. I know a lot of people even will play card games, and it seems there's a big resurgence or a big popularity surge in Cards Against Humanity, which is an adult game. But if other people that you know have the card game, you can all play together virtually. So there are a lot of ways that you could still have those face-to-face activities. And face-to-face is so important. So yes, people could say, well, I could just pick up the phone, but it does make a big difference to have the video chat aspect of that. All right, tip number three is to set boundaries. When you are a business of any kind, you have to have boundaries. And the reason you have to set those boundaries is because people will try to break them, like as soon as possible, no matter who those people are. It could be your clients, it could be your family members. It's important that you start setting those boundaries early on in your business, and especially when you're transitioning to an at-home atmosphere. The first is the boundary of your workspace, which we already talked about. You know, this is my space. When I'm here, it's work time, but also the boundary of your time. This is especially important when you work at home. Your family, your housemates, your kids need to know when your work hours are, and you need to be able to dedicate yourself to work during that time, especially if you're doing work that really requires your full attention. Also, you need to set boundaries with your time in terms of what your time is worth. Friends, family, connections, literally total strangers, everyone will come to you trying to get you to do work for free, and maybe even for a price of coffee, which you can't really do right now because you can't go have real coffee and they can't buy you coffee. So a lot of people are demanding free. And I'm going to tell you something. We're in a very special time right now. And with everyone going through hardships and trying to get creative with helping each other, I think there's been almost an overabundance of free right now. Now, you could fight me on this. Maybe this is unpopular opinion. I think there's a way that we can help each other and support businesses without giving everything for free. I don't think you have to give all your services for free. I think content marketing right now is huge, is a great opportunity for you to get creative and put your ideas in how you can help people down in on paper in a blog or on a podcast like this or in YouTube videos or even do like some Facebook Lives. But I don't think that you should be giving everything away for free. I'm going to tell you a couple of reasons. Number one, your knowledge is worth something. So maybe you want to reach out to a couple local businesses and donate your time to help them. Great. But certainly don't stretch yourself to a point where you are exhausted saving the world because you're simply doing everything for free and no one's taking care of you. You will burn out real quick. The other thing I would caution you about is if you are in an industry like the digital marketing industry, you may have, if you've been around for a while, you may have noticed that we already struggle with perception of value in our industry. So for everyone to go out and start offering, you know, digital marketing services for free, that actually can make a hit to the perceived value. Because when things get better again, there's no guarantee that people will be like, oh yeah, now we will pay for it. And I know that sounds horrible. And some might argue, well, that's very selfish or greedy. And I'm not telling people to be greedy. I do think there's a way that we can meet people halfway and negotiate ways to help and still get paid, but maybe not our full fees. And I also think that if you are going to do things for free, in terms of services. If you are going to discount your services to help others, great, but really be clear that this is a special circumstance. I just think it's very important that you protect your time and you protect what your time is worth. This is a struggle that a lot of entrepreneurs have gone through for years, and something like a giant coronavirus coming in and shutting everything down is certainly not helping with this. So when you respect your hours, your time, it's really a matter of protecting the perceived value of your industry, of your business, of how important what you do is, but it's also important, especially now, for your mental health. I know way too many entrepreneurs out there that are giving 110% of their time to free, saving the world right now, and they are burnt out. They are exhausted. They feel like no one is supporting them. And I think that if you feel that way, it's time to step back and start reevaluating how much you are giving away for free or how you are helping. I do think there are ways that you can help people right now that don't necessarily need to drain you like that. So definitely set those boundaries and make sure that you are not neglecting your work, yourself, your paying clients, and making sure that you can still help people, but perhaps there are better ways, right? All right, so let's talk about tip number four, which is to have a creative outlet. You know, when you get stuck, which you will when you work at home, and especially if you're under undue stress or you have anxiety, you need to step away and do other things. Now, this can be anything, really, whatever you're into that could get you to de-stress or maybe create new ideas for you. For me, I really like to step away and maybe meditate or work out, or I do like to do those Zoom meetings where I just have a casual conversation with friends that maybe those friends are in my industry and we could kind of share ideas just naturally in talking. And I walk away from those experiences more inspired on how I want to deal with things or content that I want to create. Something else you might do is a hobby or get creative and do something artistic. I love to bake. I feel like baking is a way for me to relieve stress. In fact, if you take the word dessert and you turn it around, it spells stressed. So I feel like dessert switches things up, right? So find a hobby, find some creative outlet, find a way to step away. And I think that you're going to find that that's really going to help your overall work life. All right, tip number five is so important, especially if you are working from home for the first time. You may not do this, but you need to take breaks. It's tough. I know for me, it's easy to become very obsessive with my work. And if I didn't have kids or a husband, I might work nonstop and just burn myself to the ground with obsession. The line between work and life becomes very blurred when you work from home and no one around you to ask you to, you know, stop and go, let's go grab lunch or let's go to the coffee, get coffee in the break room or walk down to the coffee shop. There's no friends that you work with, no coworkers. So you could actually forget to move. I am not joking here. Even the most dedicated work from home, seasoned work from home person needs to take breaks. So remind yourself, set a timer. I actually have a Fitbit that reminds me, I think it's every 45 minutes to an hour, to get up and move. You know, just stand up and stretch. Or go for a walk outside. You're still allowed to go outside and get some fresh air, y'all. So take some time, take breaks, and that's gonna help you refuel. All right, let's talk about tip number six, which is focus. Unless you're using it for business, get off Facebook, y'all. Some of you are stressing yourself out by consuming way too much Facebook. You do not need to stay connected 100% of the time. You should be working some of that time, right? Especially if you're working from home. But it's not just social networks that can suck the attention and time away from you when you work from home. Constant phone calls and interruptions can also cause distraction. So be sure to set those boundaries. For me, I don't answer my work phone. Every single person who calls me, including clients, has to get a hold of me via scheduling a call or email, or they could send me a message on Messenger, and I check those in intervals throughout the day. So I know what's coming my way and I could schedule my day. But certainly you know, don't allow those interruptions to cause havoc in your life. Be sure to set those boundaries, create those work hours, and don't take calls at certain times so that you can really focus on the work that you need. Also, be sure to pick times during the day when you're most productive and make that the time when you focus. Now, this is going to be a handy little trick that I'm going to teach you. If you are a parent and you have work to do, this is kind of my secret sauce. What you need to do is organize your time or your work, the type of work that you have, into basically three different categories. So let's say, for instance, category number one is work that must be done without interruptions. For me, this would include things like shooting video, doing podcast recordings, having meetings with people or interviews, and client phone calls. Next, you will have work that can be done with interruption, but it still takes focus and your full attention for the most part. So stuff like maybe writing, blogging, editing video, editing any kind of podcast or anything like that, where it really, you need to set your attention to that thing. But, you know, the kids can still run in and say, ah, mom, we need you to help us with X, Y, and Z. And you're not going to be furious because you are in the middle of recording something. And then there's work that can be done while you are around your children or around, you know, watching TV or whatever. It's not necessarily mindless work, but certainly not work that takes your full attention. For me, this includes things like scheduling social media posts, research, creating graphics, anything like that where I can just kind of be, you know, present, or, you know, even going through and responding to comments on YouTube or checking in with my Facebook group. I can do that while the kids play outside and I'm watching them, or while I sit in their toy room and watch them have lunch, you know, whatever that is. I can definitely do that while they're nearby. So now I schedule my days based on when the kids are at school, which right now they're not, or when they have a sitter, which right now we don't. But I certainly in this atmosphere will schedule it around nap time or quiet time, or when I know that they're going to have their attention on a maybe educational app that the school gave them, or maybe at lunch when I let them watch a movie or something like that. I know that those are times when I could do those more no interruption style things. I'm also very fortunate to have a very supportive husband. And usually if I need to shoot video, I'll batch my video on Saturdays or on a day when he's home. Every other Friday my husband has off. So sometimes he will, you know, take the kids and do something and take them outside to ride bikes and scooters or whatever. He takes over, Mr. Mom. And then I get to just uninterrupted time, shoot all the video I need to shoot. So definitely figuring out when are those times that are appropriate to do those things that fall into the, I can't have any interruption, and the, I can take some interruption, but I need to be, you know, close by to be in my office, what have you. And then, you know, work your schedule, and that really will help you stay organized, not only with your time, but it's also super vital for the success of your work-home balance and your productivity, because you really need to make sure that you are, you know, still taking time for your family, but you can't do that if you're just kind of being pulled in all directions. So it's good to organize that time properly. All right, tip number seven is delegate and outsource. Now, this could be a little trickier now, but if you can, this is something that can really help you. Hire a virtual assistant, or, you know, hire your kid, depending on their age, or maybe a nephew or a niece. Hire someone to help you with some of the things that you have going on in your life, in your business, things that could be done by someone else. I'm kind of a control freak when it comes to my business stuff, so I find it very hard to let go. Plus, I can get it all done, but if that's not you, then, you know, let go of some stuff. For me, it's easier for me to outsource things in my personal life, so that's why I usually hire a sitter to come watch my kids so I can do that work, or someone will come and do my laundry. Now, I am at that point where no one's allowed in my house because we are on quarantine lockdown in the state of California, but when that lifts, those are some good tips. But in the meantime, you can still hire like a virtual assistant. My friend Stephanie Liu, who is amazing. If you should definitely check out Stephanie Liu. She has Lights, Camera, Live is her show, and she is an NLP practitioner. She's an amazing person. And she actually told me this great tip where if there are processes that you do, you know, to maybe that you might be able to hand off to a VA and you're not sure how to do that, use tools like Loom or, you know, screencasting tools or otter.ia that can help you, or AI, sorry, it's otter.ai, which can help transcribe videos and notes and for all that stuff for you. And while you're doing them, create those processes, record them. And so you just hand that over to a virtual assistant, say, here's what I do, here's how I do it, and now you can do it too. So that was kind of a master ninja Jedi trick that she taught me, and I thought that was awesome. So create those processes. Now, I would love to hear from you. What is your work from home tip? You can tweet to me at Stellar247 over on Twitter. That's STELLAR and the numbers 247. And let me know what's your tip. Well, I want to thank you so much for listening to the podcast, the Business as Unusual podcast. I'm going to be back in the next couple of sessions. We're going to be talking about ways that businesses, both online and offline, can adjust to the coronavirus pandemic and all the shutdowns, and how you might be able to still generate money if you can't open your doors or if your clients are dropping like flies. And so we're going to be talking about that. So be sure to subscribe, share this out, and let me know what you think. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I will catch you next time here on the Business as Unusual podcast.